The Lord has blessed us with a beautiful day to gather in His house to worship and celebrate on this Mother's Day morning. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship. Good morning. It is good to gather in the Lord's house this beautiful Sunday morning. It is a day that we celebrate with families on this Mother's Day morning. It is a beautiful Sunday morning that the Lord has blessed us with, and we are excited that you have decided to join us for worship this morning with the First Baptist Church of Elon family. We know that you are not gathered here with us, but we know that wherever you are gathered this morning, in your homes or wherever you're gathered this morning, that you are excited to worship with us this morning through song and through scripture reading, through prayer and responsive reading, and also through the Word of God. We hope that you will join with us as we sing this morning, as we read scripture, as you pray with us. And we know, hopefully, that you're gathered with family this morning. And we hope that you've already started honoring your mothers and your grandmothers and whoever you're gathered with this morning. And if you haven't been able to join with your families this morning, that you've already started those phone calls, those texts or tweets or emails this morning, or you've already started that this weekend, and in whatever way you're able to celebrate this weekend. I know it's going to be a little bit of different celebration, but this is a time to celebrate, and we hope that you'll be able to celebrate this morning, because we will have a way that we're going to honor our mothers and those women that have had a significant impact in our lives and continue to have significant impact in our lives and across this great nation of ours. And so we hope you'll take a time to honor them this morning in a special way with us. As we gather here this morning, we are excited. We have a couple new worship leaders with us this morning. So thank you, April Riley, and thank you, Jesse Allison, who are going to help lead in worship this morning with us. And we look forward to them singing with us and joining Gay and leading in us in worship this morning. As you've gathered with us this morning, our opening scripture reading comes from 1 Samuel chapter 2, reading verses 1 through 10. This is Hannah's prayer, and I will be referencing this a little bit later in our time of our sermon passage this morning. It reads this, and this is a prayer from a mother. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly, or let your mouth speak such arrogance, for the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighted. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for food, but those who were hungry, hunger no more. She who was barren has borne seven children, but she who has had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes, and he has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked will be silenced in darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the end of the earth. He will give strength to the king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Then Elkanah went home to Ramah, but the boy ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest. This word was spoken by Hannah as she prayed to God for the gift of her son Samuel. We will reflect on this a little bit later in worship during the sermon, but this was a song, a prayer of thanksgiving. And so as we think about this prayer this morning at the beginning of our worship time, let us go to the Lord in prayer with that same thanksgiving this Sunday morning. Let us pray. God of all knowledge, Hannah's prayer resonates not only across the ages, but in our hearts on this day, Mother's Day, as like her, we praise you as our rock and our Redeemer. We worship you with awe this season of Easter, which we still celebrate this day, knowing that there is no holy one like you. And yet you took on our humanity. And yet to reveal your love and your mercy in person. In Jesus, who, taking the form of a servant, taught us about your power, the power dreamed of by Hannah, just spoken in these words. Power at the service of others, raising up the powerless, strengthening the weak, healing the sick, replacing the despair with hope, bringing life where there was death. Father, we gather here today to praise and adore you, our Father, our God, for these wonderful signs of your love. May this time of worship this day and the service of our lives be a worthy response to this gift of love this morning. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and for his sake. Amen.
Well, good morning. Our opening hymn this morning is Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to sear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. unending love, amazing grace.
The Lord has promised good to me, His word my heart secures, His will.
My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace.
Dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Will be.
Each year, we during Mother's Day, we take the opportunity here in our sanctuary to honor our mothers. And this year is unusual because we do not have our congregation sitting in our pews, and so we wanted to do a way of honoring our mothers a little bit differently. So this past week, we sent out cards to those mothers in our church. We sent out cards to all the women in our congregation, because we recognize that all women play an important part in raising up individuals, children of all ages, and that is an important part. It's something we recognize, and I'll be talking a little bit more about that in the sermon in a little bit. And so this morning, I have a Mother's Day liturgy that I want to read, and it is a responsive reading that I want you to participate in, and these words will be on the screen behind me in just a moment. But there's an opening that I want to begin with that is in the form of a prayer. And so join with me in this liturgy that will be read responsively in just a moment. And Jerry will pull up the responsive reading part in just a second. Lord, on this day set aside to honor and remember mothers, we give you thanks for our mothers. We are grateful that you chose to give us life through them, and that they received the gift of life from your hands and gave it to us. Thank you for the sacrifices they made in carrying us and giving us birth. We thank you for the women who raised us, who were our mothers in childhood, whether birth mom, adopted mom, older sister, aunt, grandmother, stepmother, or someone else. We thank you for those women who held us and fed us, who cared for us and kissed away our pain. We pray that our lives may reflect the love they showed us and that they would be pleased to be called our moms. We pray for older moms whose children are grown. We pray for new moms experiencing changes they could not predict. We pray for pregnant women who will soon be moms.
Grant them patience and good counsel in the coming months.
We pray for moms who face the demands of single parenthood. We pray for moms who enjoy financial abundance.
Grant them time to share with their families.
We pray for moms who are raising their children in poverty.
Grant them relief and justice.
We pray for stepmoms.
Grant them patience and understanding and love.
We pray for moms who are separated from their children.
Grant them faith and hope.
We pray for moms and marriages that are in crisis.
Grant them support and insight.
We pray for moms who have lost children.
Grant them comfort in the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
We pray for moms who gave up their children for adoption.
Peace and confidence as they trust in your providence.
We pray for adoptive mothers.
Grant them joy and gratitude for the gift you have provided.
We pray for girls and women who think about being moms.
Grant them wisdom and discernment.
We pray for women who desperately want or wanted to be moms.
Grant them grace to accept your timing and will.
We pray for all women who have assumed the mother's role in a child's life.
Grant them joy in the appreciation of others.
We pray for those people present who are grieving the loss of their mother in the past year.
Grant them comfort and hope in Christ's resurrection.
Now, at this time, what I want to encourage is as you are gathered in your homes, and if you are gathered with your mothers or your grandmothers or your wives or women who play the roles of mothers in whatever form, I would ask that you lay your hands upon that woman that you are gathered with right now. And I am going to lead in a time of prayer. And if you are right now, if you are a woman who may not have someone with you right now, but play a role as a mother or a grandmother, I want you to know that you are not alone, because you have a church family here at First Baptist Elon that is praying for you this moment. And so you have what I would say God's hand upon you, but this hand right here represents that hand upon your shoulder right now. And so at this time, I want you to place your hand on that mother, that individual, or this hand is laying on your shoulder or your head right now. And let us pray for the mothers that are out there. And if you are listening to this service today, know that you are being prayed for. You are being thanked for your role as a mother, as a grandmother, as a quote-unquote, and when I say mother, I mean as a woman who helps tend and take care of the individuals of this world. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your care. Thank you for your time and your energy. Know that without you, we are not who we are. Thank you for answering the call that God has placed on your life. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of motherhood. And that term mother is so dynamic of a term. Because, Father, that term mother comes in so many different forms. We know that that term is so special and unique, and you have crafted it in so many different ways, just as you have crafted and made unique every single individual that that term is placed upon. We thank you for the many examples of faithful mothers in Scripture, like Hannah and Sarah, Elizabeth and Lois. And we know, as we think about that term, we have names running across our minds. And we know that as we gather here this day, we are placing our hands upon shoulders of mothers and grandmothers. And we have names that are running across our minds that we are placing our hands, our holy hands upon their names, on those hands today. We thank you. We are mindful this day of these women, and we are just give you thanks for their continued presence in this world, who had the courage and faith to say yes to your calling. They answered your call, Father, and we are not the same because they said yes. May these women gathered here, wherever they're gathered, today emulate these examples of women in Scripture. And may they model for the rest of us what it means truly to be your disciples. Bless them on this special day. May they know how special that they truly are. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. And to all the mothers out there, thank you.
Our Mother's Day song this morning is Faith of Our Mothers. You might not recognize this song, but it's to the tune of Faith of Our Fathers.
Faith of our mothers living still in cradle song and bedtime prayer, in nursery love and fireside love,
Ministry highlight today is we've had a couple questions in regards to our Graduate Sunday, something we usually hold here at First Baptist Elon during the month of May or sometimes during the early months of June, and we still plan to hold Graduate Sunday coming up, probably pushing it off to hopefully June, when hopefully we will be gathered back together again here at First Baptist Elon. But at this time, I did want to recognize our graduates for 2020, and I just want to recognize them by name. We do have one high school graduate this year. Patrick Roof will be graduating from Western Alamance High School, a senior, and he will be attending Appalachian State University in the fall. Our college graduates this year, we have three college graduates. Abigail Allred will be graduating from Appalachian State University this year with a degree in graphics communications management. Brianna Davis will be graduating from UNC Wilmington with a double major in criminology and public sociology with a minor in forensic science. And Kylie Gumilla, who plays the piano for us on occasion, she will be graduating from Elon University with a degree in mathematics with a licensure in teaching. And those are our college graduates this year, but we also have a graduate who will be graduating with a master's degree this year. Lindsay Swing just graduated actually this week from UNCG, UNC Greensboro, with a master's in public administration. So those are our 2020 graduates. We've had a few phone calls about our graduates this year, so if you want to send graduation cards, I'm sure they would greatly appreciate those. And so congratulate those graduates with phone calls and cards, but we will be honoring those graduates at a later worship time when we can gather back together again in the sanctuary. But those are our 2020 graduates, so congratulations to our First Baptist Elon graduates this year. We are proud of you. We know it's been a little bit different school year this year, especially the spring semester, but congratulations to Patrick, Abigail, Brianna, Kylie, and Lindsay.
Consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Thank you, Jesse. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, as we come to you again about to approach your word, thinking about all that you have done for us, thinking about all the individuals that you have placed in our lives, and thinking about how we come to you. In this moment of worship this morning, we come to you. We should come to you on our knees, giving you thanks and praise and honor. But so many times we come to you wanting more. But Father, simply we should be coming to you offering up ourselves. Father, we come to you this day confessing that so many things that you give to us we don't deserve, and we know that, Father, we know that we don't deserve those things, but you just simply give without question the grace and the mercy that you give us. And we are thankful. And Father, as I've been reflecting this past week on the pain and the hurt that I see on the news, as I see sickness and weakness, as I see injustice, Father, I just hurt for our nation. I hurt for families who've lost loved ones from illness, and for families who have lost loved ones because of senseless killing. And Father, I just ask, why? Why do we hear these stories again and again? And Father, that's when I should be coming to you on my knees, but those are the times I come to you walking up to you saying, why? Because, Father, oftentimes we confess that we know more than you, but we don't. So, Father, I come to you today knowing that I don't know more than you. And, Father, that's how I come to you today to this word, to this time of scripture, to this time of sermon, and I hope that we as First Baptist Elon, that we know that we don't know more than you. And every time that we come to your word, that we don't know more than you. And every time that we come to worship, that we don't know more than you. And that when we come to worship, that we come with open hands and we come to the altar wherever we gather today, that we come humbly before you, knowing that we need to confess that we don't know more than you. And when we do that, that's when we're ready to worship. Because that's when we are vulnerable to the Spirit. And that's when the Spirit is going to move. Father, I'm ready. I hope we all are. Amen. This doesn't have anything to do with the sermon today. My heart's been bleeding this week. It's been hurt this week. And anybody that has watched the news, I hope you have hurt this week by injustice that has been shown on the news this week. Injustice that has taken place in the state of Georgia this week. And for me to stand here today and not mention it would be an injustice. And I pray for justice to be done. And I pray with many ministers, as I have seen and heard many ministers call out for justice. And hopefully we started seeing justice being done this week. And that's all I will say. Our God is a God of justice. And we are a people of justice. Today, if you have your Bibles, I'll encourage you to go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Scripture passage is going to precede what we read a little bit earlier in Scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 2. This is my sermon this morning for Mother's Day, focuses on the story of Hannah. It's a powerful story. It's a story that has, as I've been thinking about preaching for Mother's Day, it's a story that has gripped me for some time. Again, I want to extend a warm, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and grandmothers and ladies out there who have and continue to have a significant impact, not just on my life, but on the lives of so many. Thank you for shaping our church, our community, our state, our nation, our world into who we should be. I will confess, however, that one of the things that I enjoy doing during the time of Mother's Day, I was unable to do this year. And that is venturing to the local Hallmark store. The pandemic closed down Hallmark. And the reason that I enjoy going to Hallmark is because I enjoy picking out the Hallmark cards for my beautiful bride. I enjoy picking out cards, but one of the things I enjoy doing is observing the uncomfortable nature of men picking out Hallmark's cards. It is a great joy of mine because men are uncomfortable at it, and I enjoy watching it. I enjoy picking out cards, but men hate it. And there are a variety of type of men at the Hallmark store, and I like to label them. So I want to share some of the labels that I like to call the men at the Hallmark store. And they're quite humorous. There are these types of labels. There are the one and dones. These are the men that come straight into the door. They go straight to the rack of cards. They pick up one card, open it, look at it. That's the one they're buying, and they go straight to the register. They are the one and dones. There is what I like to call the peruser. This is the man who comes into the store and will peruse all the cards without picking up one single card. He looks at them from a distance and kind of walks around. He's like he's at an art museum, I would like to say, and kind of looks at them at all. I don't know if he ever picks up a card or not because I don't stay long enough to see if he picks up a card, but that's the peruser. There is what I like to call the novelist. This is the man who picks up every card in the store and reads it from the front to the back. I'm not joking. From the front all the way to the back. He knows where that card is made. He knows how much that card costs in the USA, in Canada, in England, and if it was made in Germany, in Taiwan, in wherever that card was made. And he reads every single card in the store. He may have been there since who knows when. Since who knows? He may have been there since St. Patrick's Day, and he may still be there at Christmas time. I don't know if he ever picks up a Mother's Day card or not. Then there's the returner. This is the man who goes in the store. He picks up the first card, he reads it, and then he will go along the aisles and picks up more cards, but he always comes back to that very first card he picks up, and he always gets the first one. That's the returner. Then there is what I like to call, using my baseball analogy, the cleanup hitter. This is the man who picks up five or six cards, picks them all up. Every card he reads, he picks up and carries them with him. And he will buy five or six cards. He's probably only buying for one person, but he picks up five or six, and he'll decide later which one he's going to give to his wife or his girlfriend or whoever he's going to buy. Now, unfortunately, I didn't get to see all of my fun gentlemen this year at the Hallmark store, but I'm sure next year I will get to see them. Unfortunately, though, many of you did not get to receive your Hallmark cards like you normally do. Am I right, ladies? Some of you didn't get to get your Hallmark cards. So if you did not get a chance to receive your Hallmark cards, I am bringing your Hallmark cards to you this year. Okay, so here you go. From the humor section of the Hallmark store, if you usually get the funny Hallmark card, here is you for you, Mom. Mom, all the things I thought you said, or all the things I thought I heard you say, I don't have a tissue with me, so you just told me to use my sleeve. Let me smell that shirt. Yeah, you can wear it another week. The curfew is just a time to shoot for, right, Mom? It's not actually a time that you wanted me to be home. Thank you, Mom, for being an understanding mom. Thank you for putting up with all the love that I gave you. I love you, Mom. That's from the Hallmark humor section. Now, this is from the philosophical section of your Hallmark store. Motherhood is the ultimate reward and the ultimate sacrifice, all in the same breath. Thank you for your sacrifice, Mom. You are my ultimate reward. I love you, Mom. Don't you wish you'd have received that card this year? That was beautiful. I should write cards for a living, right? This is from the kids section. You remember those cards you used to get from the kids section that had like 10 slides? You know, you had to open and open and open and open. This is from the kids section. A teacher asked a boy this question. Suppose your mother baked a pie and there were 7 of you, 5 children and 2 parents. What fraction of the pie would you get? A sixth, the boy said. A sixth of the pie. I'm afraid you don't know your fractions, the teacher answered. Remember, there are 7 of you, 5 children and 2 parents. Yes, teacher, but you don't know my mother. My mother would have said she doesn't want any pie. Aw, isn't that sweet? Mom, thank you for all the pieces of the pie you get. You're the whole pie, all in one. Aw, we love you. Don't you wish you'd have gotten that card sometime? That's sappy. Jesse's smiling over here. Jesse bought that card some time ago. Marie, you got that card. I know you did. And now from the getting on to the sermon section of my cards. This morning, as we talk about the importance of the praying mother, we must understand that motherhood comes in so many different forms these days. So when I say mother, I mean mother by birth, adoption, by step, by grand, by pseudo-adoption, by mentor, by teacher, by future mother, by past mother, and everything in between. And this anonymous quote applies to motherhood in so many different forms I just mentioned. There is no nobler character than that of motherhood at its best. There are no possibilities greater, and no other sphere does failure bring more serious penalties. To attempt this task unprepared and untrained is tragic, and its results affect generations to come. On the other hand, there is no higher height to which humanity can attain than occupied by a converted, heaven-inspired, praying mother. That's why this morning my sermon is titled, Prayer, a Mother's Greatest Gift. Like I said, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 through 28. This is the story of Hannah. And early in the service, we read a passage of Scripture that immediately follows this passage, which is called Hannah's Song of Thanksgiving. After her son Samuel was born, and she returned him to the temple at Shiloh to Eli when he was 3 years old, this is when that chapter 2 took place. This morning we're going to look at Hannah as just one of the many examples of biblical mothers who use this great gift of motherhood and can use this model for how we can be greater mothers, but how we can learn from this example of prayer. So this morning, reading from 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 through 28. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me. My hands can work this morning. The verses will be behind me on the screen. Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. Not so, my lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and then went back to the home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. When the man Elkanah went up with all her family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, after the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Do what seems best to you. Elkanah, her husband, told her, stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word. So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, as surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Hannah prayed for her child before his arrival in his absence. In the verses prior to this passage, we are told that Hannah and her husband, Elkanah, had not been blessed with a child, while his other wife, Peninnah, had been blessed with sons and daughters. Each year, Peninnah would provoke Hannah for being childless, and this would cause Hannah great depression. While in Shiloh, Hannah goes to the temple to pray. We can be sure that this is not the first time Hannah had prayed to God. And we can be sure that this is not the first time that she had prayed for a child. I would contend that Hannah was a vibrant prayer warrior. And the very fact that she darkened the steps of the Shiloh temple that evening was no surprise. Her emotions drove her to a place of familiarity, to her God. However, I think this was probably the first time that she made the vow to her Lord. If you give me a son, I will give him back to you. He will be a Nazarite. As this prayer is going on, Eli was watching, and no words are coming from Hannah's mouth. Everything is coming from her heart. How many prayers of a mother come from their hearts rather than their mouths? How many prayers come from the tears from their eyes rather than their mouths? How many prayers come from the sleepless nights rather than their mouths? How many prayers come from the moments of dead silence rather than their mouths? How many of our prayers come from our souls rather than our lips? Eli challenged Hannah, but Hannah spoke back with words from her spirit. I have poured out my soul to the Lord. Hannah prayed for her child before his arrival. To put it another way, in his absence, Hannah was praying. How many prayers are lifted up by mothers when their children are not present? Whether the child hasn't arrived yet, the child is not in their current presence, whether the child is absent from their present spirit, the child has been given up, or the child has even passed away. How many prayers are lifted up by mothers when their children are not present? Early in the morning, late at night, every minute of every hour of every day, spoken or unspoken, pouring out their souls to the Lord. Hannah prayed. Each of us can learn this first lesson from a praying mother. We pray with our souls. We don't just pray for what is present, we pray for what is absent. We pray for the future. We live for those prayers to God. Hannah did, mothers do, but their prayers do not stop there. Because of her faithfulness, Eli answered her. Not even knowing what Hannah was praying for, Eli saw the prayer. He didn't hear it, but Eli saw it. And he said, "Whatever you're praying, may God of Israel grant your prayer." He saw the passion and the vibrance of Hannah's prayer. How many times do people see the vibrance of your prayer life? Just something to reflect on today. But Hannah's prayer didn't stop there, because Hannah prayed for thanksgiving and care for Samuel. She was praying for the present. Before returning home, Hannah and Elkanah again worshiped before the Lord. And upon returning home, they were blessed with a child, Samuel. Hannah knew that this was a blessing from God. There's no other way to answer it. It was a blessing from God, giving Samuel his name, which means, "Because I've asked him of the Lord." It would have been easy for Hannah to go back on her word. Think about it. No one else knew, just Hannah and Eli. But the one thing that she had wanted was a son. A child, and the vow that she had made would require him to return him to God, to be a Nazarite. Yet Hannah kept her vow, but she did it with prayer. She didn't just give him up saying begrudgingly, "I don't want to do this, but here you go." She did it with prayer. She prayed for Samuel's care and thanksgiving, weaning him to the age of 3, blanketing him with prayer every step of the way. Can you imagine the night she held him in his arms, rocking Samuel to sleep, praying over him, asking God to take care of him for the many years to come? Do we wonder why God was going to use Samuel in a special way for the many years to come? He was blanketed in prayer. Our minds may jump to the fact that Hannah was giving Samuel up. However, Hannah was returning Samuel to God. She wasn't giving Samuel up. Isn't that what mothers do on a daily basis? When a mother sees their child off to the school bus, or a teacher sees a student home after a long day, or a grandmother sees a grandchild home after a long weekend, aren't they blanketed with a prayer and placed in God's hand in His provision for Him to take care of them until the next time they see them? Our assumption may jump that Hannah would cut ties with her son when she left him with Eli at the age of 3. Scripture doesn't tell us that. However, Scripture tells us that Hannah would see Samuel regularly, that she would actually bring him a coat every single year. And I can imagine that she was a regular attender of worship at Shiloh. Wouldn't you be? Hannah prayed for the thanksgiving and care for Samuel in the present. What better place to put him in the hands of the Heavenly Father in the present time? The roles and responsibilities of a mother are often overwhelming. Let's face it, they are. The juggling ability of a mother should be commended, not just on Mother's Day, not just today, but every single day. What better place to put the thanksgiving and care of that child in the hands of the Heavenly Father, of the God who blessed her with that child in the first place? Hannah recognized it. That's why she honored the vow. She weaned Samuel for 3 years, and she returned Samuel to him. But she didn't stop tending to his needs. She didn't have to do it alone. Mothers, you don't have to do it alone. This is a cry to everyone. We don't have to do it alone. But Hannah also prayed to God for Samuel's future. Hannah recognized that God had a special purpose for Samuel. I am sure those early years weaning him, she started recognizing the gifts that Samuel had been blessed with. And she started nurturing those gifts for those 3 years that she had him in her home. And she started recognizing those gifts when she visited Shiloh. She started seeing Eli nurturing those gifts. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, that passage we read earlier this morning, she recites a prayer that Hannah sings to God shortly after returning Samuel to Eli as fulfillment for this vow. In this prayer, she focuses on the character of God and how he fulfills the promises of those who are weak, struggling, and downtrodden. Speaking about herself, little did she realize that Samuel would play a similar role in the history and future of the nation of Israel. God would use Samuel to anoint the first two kings of Israel, King Saul and King David. Hannah's prayer for Samuel's future that had begun at a young age would follow him to the throne room of Israel. Even in her absence, Hannah prayed for Samuel's future. In her presence with him, Hannah prayed for Samuel's future, not for the decisions that he would make, but for that God's will would be done. Isn't that the prayer for all mothers? That God's will would be done for their children? A mother's prayer for the future for her children are an everyday experience. The future may be for that day, that week, that month, or that year. The prayer may be for their health, their school year, their friendships, their relationships, their college choices, their career paths, their safety on the roads, their families, and the list goes on and on and on. How many sleepless nights have mothers experienced praying and taking care of a sick child? How many long days have been spent by a grandmother preparing for the grandchildren to come for the summertime? How many weeks and prayers have been spent by teachers preparing their classrooms, or presently their virtual classrooms, to educate their children for this upcoming school year? And this is just the beginning of how many prayers for the future for an everyday experience. A mother never stops praying for the future for their child. Hannah never stopped. We should never stop. So, on this Mother's Day, as we seek to honor mothers of all types, may we be reminded of the model of Hannah, who used the greatest gift that a mother can give, the gift of prayer. She prayed before Samuel arrived. She gave thanks and prayed for him in the present. And she also prayed for his future. As we look and think of our mothers on this day and every day, we can be assured that they have and they continue to do the same for us. And maybe we should follow Hannah's model and do the same for them. Pray for the past, pray for the present, and pray for their future. You know, that would be a great present for them this Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for the mothers in our life, and we thank you for the model of Hannah, who blanketed Samuel in prayer and shows us what it truly means to give the greatest gift of all, the gift of prayer. May we be reminded of that this day and every single day, where we honor those who play that significant impact in our lives. We thank you for that model this day. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is Take Time to Be Holy.
Take time to be holy, speak off with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make
children, help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing His blessing to seek. Take time to be holy, the world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. Shalt be thy friends in thy conduct, His likeness shall see.
As we go out this day to celebrate Mother's Day, and we celebrate in whatever way we are celebrating with families, may we go out with remembering that the greatest gift we can give is the gift of prayer. Pray for our families. Pray for our mothers. Pray for those women in our lives who have had significant impact. And don't just pray on this day for them. Pray every day for them. Happy Mother's Day.